This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Nick Kepley always wanted to dance. It started after he saw the Nutcracker on PBS. But growing up in Western North Carolina meant that there were few places to learn the art, so eventually he left home and went to New York. Now Nick is trying to bring a bit of that world back home to Asheville with a three-week creative laboratory. Nick Kepley is the founder and artistic director of Motion Dance Theater, and he joins me now to talk about upcoming performances. Welcome, Nick.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about Motion Dance Theater and how it got started.
Well, we started 6 years ago. I was working as a freelance choreographer, and I would find myself going away to work with different ballet companies and sort of getting a lot of limitations put on me in terms of, you know, who I could use, what kind of music, how long the piece needed to be. And I started thinking about the fact that there really aren't that many opportunities for choreographers to just practice what they do and get better at what they do. You know, often you have to you're forced to come up with a certain parameter. So I wanted to create a place where choreographers could come and dancers could come and just experiment and try new things and get better at their craft. So the first year we were in New York, and then the second year, after that pretty much broke my bank account in New York, I started getting some interest from people back home in Asheville where I grew up about bringing the company here, which I hadn't really even thought of. And we came down here the next year, we performed in Tryon and in Flat Rock, and then the next year we brought it to Asheville, and it's really turned out to be a great thing for the artists. It really feels like a sort of a retreat for them.
We talked about those limitations on choreographers. What are they? What are the forces that kind of restrict how much you can learn if you're trying to make a living at it?
Well, you come in and you really have to just go. I mean, sometimes you only have like a week to put a piece together. And as I was saying, a lot of times companies are ranked, so there are principals and soloists and core, and that sort of limits who you can use and what type of roles. And also maybe the program that you're going to be presented on already has a couple of pieces that are more modern, so they need something that's more balletic. There's all sorts of limitations that might be placed on you. And also financially, there's not really a lot of opportunity for companies to take risks on new choreographers. They need to use someone that they can sort of rely on to deliver. So the question becomes, how does a new choreographer become someone who can deliver?
So why was it important for you then to bring this experiment, this workshop, to Asheville?
Well, Asheville is really, you know, hitting the world stage right now. It used to be when I would go away for summer programs, I would actually say I was from Charlotte because not a lot of people even knew where Asheville was. And now, you know, as I was living in New York, more and more people, I would say, I'm going home to Asheville. And they're like, oh, you are? I'm so jealous you're from there. And so it's really coming into its own. And I feel like, you know, the arts are certainly part of that journey. And I'd like to think that Motion is, you know, at least contributing to the leadership in Asheville of really promoting the arts and bringing them forward onto the national scene.
So tell us about how you first got hooked on dance. Really, it was PBS and the Nutcracker?
It really was, and that's pretty common a story among young dancers, I think. I was, you know, three or four years old and saw the Nutcracker and had to beg for about a year before my parents would finally take me seriously. And then I started dancing, and I just never stopped. It's just something that I've always loved.
And so what about your education? Talk a little bit about how you pursued that once you got everybody to take you seriously.
Well, after high school, and this is also pretty common, and especially in ballet, I didn't go to college. I got a job as an apprentice with Ballet Austin, and I spent 2 years there. And then I got hired at Kansas City Ballet and spent a couple more years there. And growing up, I had always been interested in ballet and theater equally. I grew up at Flat Rock Playhouse doing musical theater and sort of chose ballet to pursue first because you have to be young. And I was like, I can always go back to theater. But as I was doing ballet, I found myself really using theater actually as a way to psych myself up for performances. I would think to myself, okay, pretend it's opening night on Broadway. And eventually I was like, well, if that's what's exciting me, then why don't I just go try to do that? So I moved to New York and spent about 3 years in Mary Poppins on Broadway and then sort of switched into more assisting choreographers on different shows.
Well, the other thing is once you pursue that dream, it can wear you out pretty fast, right?
Yeah, I mean, and especially on Broadway, 8 times a week is harder than people realize. So that's when I sort of started being interested in switching over and perhaps, you know, running a company or choreographing more and sort of switching onto the more artistic side of things rather than performance.
So that brings us to Motion Dance Theater. Maybe you can give us a sense of how the performances that an audience might see this weekend would differ from another dance that they might be more familiar with.
Sure. Well, a big part of motion is exposing the process behind the work. So this weekend we'll have three different choreographers from all over the country and then eight dancers, four men and four women. And they've spent the past about 2.5, 3 weeks working on a new work. Each of them will present about a 15-minute work piece. And then we've had a videographer named Dan Hedges who's been working with us documenting the entire process. So before the audience sees each work, they'll be able to watch a short behind-the-scenes video that features interviews with the choreographer and footage of their process. I always explain to people it's sort of like going to an art museum and looking at the plaque on the wall and reading about the work and then looking back to the work and sort of understanding a little bit more about it. So I'm really wanting people to be inspired by process. And then at the conclusion of the performance, there's also a Q&A. So we've further, the opportunities for the audience to interact with the artists and be inspired by their thought process.
Have you done the documentary before? Is this the first year for that?
We have. This is the third year we've done it in video. When we first started, we used to do live interviews. But the video is nice because you're able to, like I said, see more footage of the actual rehearsal process.
I would think that would be interesting both for experienced dancers and choreographers to get some sense of how this one came together. But as you say, it's like reading the plaque. So for people who are less experienced, who may be new to dance, kind of understanding what's behind it can be pretty valuable.
Exactly. Yeah, I really want people to be inspired by what they see for their own work, whether that's in dance or any career field. You know, I think talking about process and artistic process and the way that we work in the studio, I think can really translate to any field.
Well, motion dance really is, in a way, a workshop for choreographers, and we've invited two of Motion Dance Theater's guests onto our show now. Gina Patterson is a choreographer based in San Angelo, Texas. Hello, Gina.
Hi.
And Christian Broomhall is a dancer from Columbus, Ohio, Columbus Dance Theater in Ohio. Hello, Christian.
Hello.
Gina, tell us about the opportunity this offers, a residency like this one, for you as a choreographer.
Well, I think any opportunity to create work is extremely valuable for an artist. I think it's just anytime you have dancers, time, and space, it allows for further development as an artist, and also especially in a residency such as this, it offers sort of a freedom to find new things. And that is something I really came into this process thinking about, is I had some different directions, but I really wanted to allow my first time in the studio with the dancers to and in this environment to help shape and direct where the piece was going to go.
Do you come, or did you come to this residency with a completed work, or do you come with a work in process?
I started the first day. So I had some thoughts of where I wanted to go, but it changed before I got here several times. And so I kind of came with a concept of water, really, and it sort of evolved and changed once I got here. So, I mean, a lot of times I will work up to a year or more prepping a piece, but this is something like this where you could come in and just, I wanted to allow the moment to inspire.
Christian, obviously this is a good opportunity for choreographers, but also dancers like you. And as a traveling dancer who's been in the industry for almost two decades, tell us about this residency. How unique is it, or is it unique?
It's extremely unique to have this type of playground during the summer where we all can get together and learn from each other and experience new things that we wouldn't be experiencing in our day-to-day season with our regular ballet companies.
I wonder if you feel any more permission to, I mean, I don't know how it works with dancers and choreographers and how much license you feel to sort of make suggestions and offer offer some suggestions along the way. It feels like this might be, you'd have more space to make those kinds of suggestions.
Definitely. Each choreographer is different in their process and the way they work with the dancers. But this summer in particular with Motion has been very we've worked really well together. Yeah. And we've played off of each other, thrown tons of ideas around, and it's going to be a great show.
Well, Gina, I wonder, yeah, as a choreographer, if you feel like, you know, in this, because Nick was talking about the pressures, if you get hired to do a show, you got to get working, right? And there's not a lot of time for all the wonderful collaborative insight that that your dancers might have. But this gives you the space. Do you feel different as a choreographer? Is your relationship with the dancers different in this setting than it might be if the lights go up in a week?
Mm-hmm. Well, I really try to approach each project the same in terms of, whether or not, I come to the table and I do, for my process personally, I see it as a very collaborative process. And I'm really interested in what each individual in front of me, whether they're dancers or collaborators on the artistic end of things, designers and whatnot. I really try to see them each as individuals and what they have to bring and how the two of us or all of us together can I see everybody as ingredients in a soup, I guess. and all those ingredients go into a pot and sort of make the result that's at the end of any given process. So I think a lot of it depends on the individuals in the room for me personally. And it's been, just a really valuable time to experiment and to try to push some different ideas that I had. And I've been working with a lot of different ideas that I'm going to take to some larger projects. But like I was saying, something like we have here at Motion is really invaluable and a really wonderful sort of freedom to have to just let the moment take you.
It would be interesting to hear how that's playing out in your case, because I know you said this, the project you're working on was inspired by water. Maybe you can even take us through that process and tell us how your ideas have evolved since you first sort of began to put this piece together.
Yes, it's been quite a process. It's funny, the day before I came to Asheville, I had a meeting with somebody, and she was a visual artist herself, and we were sitting outside on the porch having coffee and having a conversation, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and all of a sudden, it started pouring down rain, and as she described it, it was this sort of surreal curtain of crystal rain. And when she said that, I thought, this is something. There's just something to this moment. And I sort of lost sight of it when I entered the studio, because I knew I was thinking about water, and just, I don't know why, water for me is something really sort of spiritual or grounding, I guess you could say, is a better word. And so anytime I go somewhere, I'm always seeking out the rivers and the oceans and the water of any place. But I was started looking at it in terms of how the interconnectedness of water and how all of us as people are interconnected. You know, just like water sort of, it goes above the rocks, around the rocks, splitting and separating, coming back together. It connects us all. As part of the earth, and it also as part of who we are as human beings. And I was thinking about the way I started the movement. You know, I start movement to start to see how dancers take to it and to try to get to know them. And so I started thinking about this idea of sort of wherever we are in the world, you know, we all experience sort of similar emotions when you distill it down. You know, we've all experienced love and loss and hurt and sort of navigating complexities of relationships. And, you know, it's, I guess, to one degree or another, it's very, even though it looks different, it's very similar.
Well,
and
of course,
so
go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, like water, it's as if we're looking at each other as if we're looking into a body of water and sort of seeing our reflection back at us. And yep. So I think as we look at the people in front of us, you know, that's sort of a statement on what we're talking about.
Well, and it's the very project of dance, right, to take ideas like that can be abstract and then embody them, mm-hmm. literally embody them and show them in
exactly.
motion with human bodies. And so that also suggests that your physical location, you talked about that rainfall that sort of gave you the first insight. You're not in that place anymore. Is there anything about being in Asheville, for instance, that then changes how you approach the dance?
Oh, yes, that's good, because I think really it's become a piece about perspective, you know, taking a step back and looking back at a situation or looking at it from another perspective, how it might, you know, in the heat of a moment, you might be crying, and then you take a step back, and with a little time, you could laugh at it. And in the same way as being here in Asheville, you know, taking some time and going hiking and going to the top of the mountain and seeing a 360 view and just taking in the feeling of that, I guess I have this feeling of just stepping outside of things and looking in. And I think that has really helped shape the piece, or it at least has become a big ingredient, one of the major ingredients in the piece. And I think, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to ask Christian, and we are running a little short of time, but I did want to ask Christian Broomhall a question about his approach to what he's hoping the audience gets out of this. Because, you know, if we go, we watch people dance, but I understand you're hoping that the audience not only appreciates what they see with their eyes, but also what they feel internally. Tell us about that.
Definitely. In my opinion, contemporary dance is more visceral in nature, so it's not about the pictures that our eyes see while the dancers are on stage, but more about the feeling that their movements give us. If someone's jogging down the street as opposed to running, it gives the viewer a different sensation as they're watching, and that's what I'm interested as a dancer in giving the audience, and I think that they could get a lot of that from this show.
And Nick, you also open up rehearsals to the audience as well. What kind of reaction have you gotten to that?
Yeah, we always, on every Friday of the residency, open our rehearsals up. And, I mean, people really enjoy that, I think. The more you watch the way it's coming together, the more you get out of it at the end. And that's the idea behind the videos. But seeing it also live in front of you is, of course, that much more exciting. And people that have come for multiple weeks are able to really watch it unfold, which is fascinating, I think, to watch.
It's great stuff. I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Nick Kepley, the founder and artistic director of Motion Dance Theater. Gina Patterson is a guest choreographer from San Angelo, Texas. And Christian Broomhall is a visiting dancer from Columbus Dance Theater in Ohio. I want to thank all three of you for being on the program. Thank you.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. You can see new works created by the Motion Dance Theater this Friday and Saturday at the Diane Wortham Theater in Asheville, and find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. Andrew Tai is our intern. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia.